There is also a, nuts, what was it? It was pretty funny. A Klingon opera.
What, you, the Klingon opera?
Yep.
Huh. Sadly, I kind of get that more than cosplay.
Welcome to episode 78 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am more fun than a barrel of monkeys with rabies, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am what you put between the pages to keep your place.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and you can find me at your local supermarket.
You can. That's a true statement.
Yeah.
Batteries not included. No. That's the downer.
Big old bottle of Jason Lamb.
Yep.
And he's never on sale. Like, no. I try to bring coupons.
Very low margin.
They're always trying to market him as like a premium product. I'm like, whatever. I've seen the guy.
I've seen this one before.
He's more of a blue light special at Kmart. Let's be honest.
Do they even have blue light specials anymore?
I haven't been to a Kmart in like 15 years.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
I know the one near me is closing down.
Yeah, can't compete with the marts that start with letters later in the alphabet.
Yeah, which is strange because you'd think if you're going through a phone book, Kmart would have came up first. But I guess I didn't do it
well,
good enough.
When the phone book died, Kmart's days were numbered.
What do you mean when the phone book's dead?
Phone book is dead. Oh, it's dead. There's no reason to have a phone book anymore. It takes up space. It's physical media. It's useless and obsolete.
Yeah.
Why use a phone book when you have Google?
This conversation just turned for the worse.
Unless you're like a phone book enthusiast, like a retro print kind of guy, you collect phone books. You play with them, you know.
You post pictures of your phone books.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow, I really want to do that now.
just to show how we're.
Hey guys, I picked up the 1997 model.
Whoa!
I mean, got it for cheap.
I got East Side Chicago 1988 with the misprint on page 97.
No way. The guy who had it before me didn't even know.
No way, dude. That's clearly a fake. There's five screws in the back where there should be three.
Oh. Stupid five screws. Because now I got to go out and buy another copy of The Legend of Zelda.
You do, because I have three different ones. So,
man.
I don't even have half of the NES. Well, maybe I do have half. Do I have half?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll count them someday.
One day. What are you drinking?
Oh, it's pickle juice.
Oh, really? Is that really pickle juice? Don't get me wrong. I like pickle juice.
It's kind of off topic to explain why, but I had some pickles with dinner, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to waste the juice. I kind of like tart stuff. So I thought, I'll just drink it during the podcast. It'll be convenient.
That's it.
Mm. So that's why I'm
because that's convenient.
Breath of Kings. Very convenient.
Ugh. Gross.
My mouth is salivating. Think of pickles now.
Yeah, see? People love pickles. Cool people like pickles, let's be honest.
Yeah, I like pickles too, but I'm not just going to casually drink the juice during a retro gaming podcast. It's not going to happen.
You said you wouldn't drink it casually, but would you drink it suavely?
No, I would drink it in secret while sitting in a closet in the dark so nobody can see me.
Oh, is that why you're sitting in a closet in the dark? Is that why?
Well, it's warm in there, too. I mean, that helps. The register's in there, so I mean.
That seems like poor design to me. Much like the phone book of 1979 San Francisco. Very poor design.
That's true.
Enormous bubble letters. I mean, they had to know that when it stayed.
What were they thinking?
It almost cussed the great phone book crash of the 80s.
It's a good thing. Yellow Book was around to revive the North American phone book industry in the late 90s.
Oh, God.
Hey, you guys are bored and bagging your phone books, right? You don't want them to get dusty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, are there any good old telephone book stores in your area? Because there just don't seem to be any in mine.
No.
No, Asia. You can get lucky every once going, like, to the trash or something.
Yeah, I go to the flea market.
Usually order mine from overseas.
Yeah, I go to the flea market sometimes. I'll get a good find there. Like, the, you know, but I usually go to eBay, honestly, just to get old phone books.
Wow, can you buy phone books on eBay?
You can, and half.com, too.
Hold on.
Oh, wait, are you asking, like, literally? You're not going along with the joke?
Yeah,
you're
I really want to know now.
Oh,
is there a secret underground culture of phone book collectors?
Oh, 1984, GG phone book.
No.
Apolina, Michigan. And
no!
$4.43 with $18 shipping. Buy it now.
Two vintage Oregon telephone phone books, yellow pages, 1955, 1959.
This makes me
Portland.
Think people actually collect these.
Dude,
it has
it's
the
going for,
condition.
It's going for 10 bucks. It's going for 10 bucks.
Vintage Lee County, Virginia phone book, 1972. That's a classy cover on that one.
Oh my gosh. I need to get into collecting phone books.
I think we're missing out, guys.
We need to get on this now before we accidentally make it popular. Madisonville, Kentucky, 1965. That's the oldest one I've seen so far. Nope, 61. 1961, San Francisco. Pacific Bell telephone book. One bid, $49.95. These are valuable.
Wow. See, this one's good. NASA, MSFC, Marshall Space Flight Center telephone directory book.
No one's bid.
Oh, and then... So after you get tired of collecting phone books, you can go and start collecting phone book ads. Open for open for business. Vintage Bell telephone magazine print ad.
Okay.
For $6.
I clearly don't know anything about old telephone book values because this one is vintage Chicago from June 1935, and it's up for only $40. Nobody's bid on it. So I mean, what? I feel like I really want to interview a vintage phone book collecting enthusiast and really pick their brain about why they do this and what determines the value.
Oh, look at this jackass. 2013 Greater Houston area yellow pages. $10. Somebody's gonna, it's 2013.
And
come
view it
on.
As an investment. 40 years. Who knows?
I don't believe it.
Oh, my goodness. 1971 Utica.
Ooh, Cincinnati Bell, yellow pages, 1971. $6. It's got a bid.
Screw it. Let's just completely get out of retro gaming. OneMoreCastle.com is now dedicated to collecting vintage phone books. This podcast...
Wait, so listen. So here's the description. Offering a real blast from the past, 1971 Cincinnati Yellow Pages directory features great ads for bike shops and auto dealers. Makes a great resource for exploring Cincinnati of the 70s, and is basically just fun to look through.
Wait. I got one. Here's a 1957 Hornell, New York telephone book with lots of surrounding smaller towns included. Alfred, Andover, Wellsville, Canisteo, Arkport, Cameron, Canasarasa, and then Hornell is the biggest listing. There's neat advertisements, and the best part is the yellow pages, I think. The pages are mostly yellow with age, though, so the yellow pages are really all the same color as the front. Book itself is in pretty good shape. Not a large book, 6 by 9 inches, maybe 135 pages or so. Neat ads, .. There's writing on the cover of this one, .. I have others for sale, so check them out. Any questions, please ask.
Wow. I think my first question would be, why are you selling a phone book?
Because people buy them, apparently. Oh, this is a market.
I will trade you my copy of Adventures for Lolo for a phone book.
Please make that happen. Okay, this...
Looking up for trade. One cartridge, NES, Adventures of Lolo for vintage yellow pages phone books.
Okay, this Hornell New York guy is kind of creeping me out. He has several of them out, so that's kind of weird.
I think we just hit on a subculture that I dare not follow down again.
I'm gonna close eBay now. Scoot
so
back.
So next week's Next week's theme is phone books, right?
Right. Games with phone books.
There's no choice in the matter anymore. Have you guys played any old video games lately? I'm trying.
I know. I jumped into Earthbound recently.
One does not merely jump into Earthbound. What do you think?
I did though. So I made that. So everybody goes on and on about this game. You know, the whole Mother, then it's Mother 2, and now it's Earthbound, and Ness. I mean, he was a huge character in Super Smash Brothers, and I didn't know who the hell he was until, you know, the game came out on the Virtual Console, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, so it's an RPG, and it's kind of like a casual, very laid back, doesn't take itself seriously, which is what is keeping me playing. Because there are so many, like, super serious RPGs. I mean, basically, every
all
RPG
other
RPGs, like,
basically.
Yeah, are super serious. So, you know, Earthbound, you play as Ness, or you can name him whatever you want. There is a meteorite that falls from the sky. Him and his friends go and investigate it. You have your dog, King, who kind of pusses out halfway through and doesn't want to hang out anymore. And Ness has psychic abilities, which is just magic. It's just magic that he can cast on himself and others. Everything about it is super interesting. Like, it's not great, but it's not bad. But it's kind of hard. Well, it's like I'm curious to talk to everybody because everybody's got something super weird to say.
Yeah.
You know, like, I went into... I went into a library, and in one of the rooms in the library, there's a bunch of people walking around. There's this one girl who's up next to the books. So I go and I talk to her, and she shushes me. And I'm thinking, what? Like, I know it's a library, but you're going to shush me? It's a video game. So I talk to her again. She's like, can't you see I'm busy? Be quiet. I was like, oh, okay. And then I see a dog in the corner, and I go and I talk to the dog.
Is this in the game?
And the dog's like, this is in the game.
Okay.
Because you can talk to animals in this game.
Right. And hippies.
And I go, yeah, tell me about it. And I go and I talk to this dog, and he's like, hey, I'm being taken over by the game programmers. You know, if you want a new weapon. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, do you have to go that far? Do you have to go to these great lengths to tell me how different aspects of the game? Can't you just, you know.
Oh, man. You make me want to write a whole feature about the majesty of Earthbound.
It's just, I mean, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it as long as I can because I paid, $9 for it or something like that on the Wii U console.
It's such a compelling game. Like, even while you're playing, you realize this may not be, even the fourth best RPG on Super Nintendo. And yet, I am continually thrust forward because it's so lovable. It's so rich with character. And the story... zany, like, I'm not going to say too much because I'm that weirdo who still thinks you shouldn't spoil 25-year-old games, but just wait till later. Like, later in the game, you're like, what?
Yeah. Well, I did a lot of background research just because, I mean, everybody goes bonkers for this game.
It's an experience.
One of the interesting things that I read was from the main designer. One of the reasons why you could only contact Ness's dad on the phone is because when he was growing up, his dad was absent from his life. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of, I mean, that sucks, obviously. But it was kind of neat that you're putting yourself into this game. Like, that takes, man, like, people don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? It's, no programmer out there would ever go up to Sony and be like, hey, so I'm going to make this one particular character green because it relates to the envy that I had when my ex-wife was sleeping with my best friend, and you know, and he's going to be a very powerful character and very demeaning. And they're like, no, it's going to be a giraffe that throws its poop at you and insults you.
Sony.
Right. It insults you as it does so. Go back to your corner of the room where you just type away.
Just like the dog in the library.
Just like the dog in the library. So, no, I'm interested. I just got started, and I'm really interested about how the game progresses. So, hopefully I will have an update for you next week.
Sounds good to me. Jason.
I played some Dark Forces.
That's a Star Wars game.
It is. It's great. It's that Star Wars Doom clone.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Oh, no, I meant
Star Wars game.
I really meant
you
it.
You don't like Star Wars, Jason.
But immediately after saying it, I realized it sounded like a warning. Like, that's a Star Wars game. Step away. No,
that's right. No, I played a bit of that. Forgot it had the most of the Star Wars soundtrack all done in MIDI. Just
good stuff.
She's just great. For anyone who hasn't played it, it's essentially Star Wars skinned over Doom.
Yeah.
And that's
so basically the best game ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. So yeah, that's what I'm playing, and then I played the game I'll be bringing to the showdown this week.
I mean, Knights of the Old Republic's okay, but you know. Dark Forces. Not bad.
Not bad.
This is good.
It's fun.
Yeah. How about you, Pickle Juice?
Pickle Juice.
Oh, fuzzy pickles.
Weird.
That was an Earthbound reference. Thank
it was.
You. No. I have been playing a couple of Super Nintendo games. I played some Tetris Attack because I enjoy it. And I really need some human competition, guys.
I've never played it, so I don't even know what it is.
It's one of my all-time favorite games, and it's my game. You know how there's that scenario, like if aliens landed and they challenged you to play them in one video game, if you lose, they kill every human being on the planet. If you win, they go away. If I had to pick one game, it'd be Tetris Attack. I don't know how good I am compared to the rest of the world, but let me put it this way, not just as an example. I haven't really met anyone that can beat me consistently. I have a friend who we get some good battles, but I usually still win most of the time. But, okay, there's a versus mode versus the computer, right? Mm-hmm. And there's an easy, medium, and hard difficulty. And there's a code you put in to make hard extra hard. Like the background turns like a dark red, and it's crazy. So I played it on very hard, and I beat it. Like, I beat, like, all the characters. Like, all I think there's, like, a dozen of them, bosses included. I beat it in 19 minutes.
Wow.
Without losing a single round and never feeling threatened. Are there any... I'm going to put out a public plea. Are there any good Tetris Attack players anywhere near the south side of Chicago? Like, anywhere... can you, like, drive a couple hours so I can play you and feel challenged? I'm just going to stagnate and get worse if I never actually play a real game. Because the computer presents no challenge any longer.
This game looks like Bejeweled. It's not Tetris at all. There's no Tetris about it. It's Bejeweled.
But it's actually a bit different from Bejeweled. You don't
Is it?
Click
How?
And tap, you rotate. I'm not going to have this discussion with you right now.
Okay, why? Is it because it's Bejeweled? Is that why you
no,
don't have this discussion?
No, there's like
core
mechanical differences between the two. There are.
Yeah.
Also, you are right about the title, Tetris. That's just a Nintendo branding decision. Japanese, it was a very clear delineation between the two brands.
Because, I mean,
like, oh, let's sell more copies. Let's put Yoshi on it and Tetris.
Yeah, there's nothing Tetris about this.
Don't get over the Tetris. That's not what makes it good. It's not good because it's named Tetris.
No, it's good because it's Bejeweled. Bejeweled's a great game. It's fun.
So
anybody can play it. It's simple to understand.
I've also started a new game of Super Mario World, which I haven't actually played in a very long time. So that's been exciting. I just, you know, the first time you suicide kill Yoshi just to get over a jump and flying around with the cape and hitting the big yellow switch, it's a magical game.
Super it's magical. World. It's amazing. Great game.
Just like the dog in the library.
But, Bailey, why would
What's
you
up?
Play Super Mario World when there's a 3D adventure on the N64? Isn't 3D better?
No, not necessarily. I'm missing where I'm supposed to be going with this joke.
No, I was setting you up for a
good
argument,
yes.
It's
yes.
too late now.
pixel graphics actually look better compared to crappy polygons and the level design.
Well, when you call
Super Mario 64 is darn good, though. Super Mario 64 is good, so it's not like I can like bash it too hard.
True game.
Okay. Boom.
Sorry. Bash.
Okay.
Slam.
You just played Tester's Attack.
What? Yeah.
It's kind of like Bejeweled.
No, it is Bejeweled. It's not kind of like, it is. It is Bejeweled.
The only difference between Ed and Bejeweled, instead of like when you know how you flip the crystals? They just stay instead of going back in Tetris Attack. So it's even easier.
So nothing's different, is that what you're saying?
I'm not talking to either.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it's Bejeweled. Nintendo, okay. Nintendo's
you guys
Bejeweled.
You guys know Bejeweled came out like way later, right? Like, you know, you're like,
sure
completely backwards on this right now.
Sure it did.
Like, do you realize that? Like, you.
Whatever.
No, it's not whatever. You can't give Bejeweled credit for the game concept that Nintendo did first.
I know. That's fine. I'm just giving Bejeweled credit for popularizing it.
I am excited for you that you have mastered a Nintendo game. I mean, if I had mastered a rehash of a rehash of a rehash of a game, I would be ecstatic about it.
But I don't know if I've mastered it. I want to play someone who's actually good. I've heard of people who might be good, but they're like in New York and stuff. Yeah.
Just find somebody who's good at Bejeweled. It's the same thing.
I might launch a Kickstarter just to have me fly to New York so I can play one of the world's best players at it and then fly home. People would definitely buy my plane tickets, right? They would do that, right?
Yeah,
no,
yeah, totally.
No. No, that's worth a shot.
I'd buy it 7.
Why?
What?
7 tickets, just back and forth, back and forth.
Why?
So he could go and play whenever he wants.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I'll throw in a phone book.
Ooh, which one?
Ooh.
We'll see. Probably New York one to mark the occasion.
There you go.
Wow, the lower Bronx.
Tetris Attacks. Here, okay. So, any PopComs, what? May? We're in March.
May 30th through June 1st. Join us at Indie PopCon in Indianapolis, Indiana. We'll all be right, there.
All right, so I'll pick up Tetris Attacks. I'll play it for a couple of days, and then I'm sure I'll be sturdy enough competition for you.
I look forward to disemboweling you, figuratively.
I mean, I've played Bejeweled, so I know how the game works.
I'm still very confident. I mean, I'm pretty good at Tetris Attacks.
Wait, is there a Tetris Attacks on Sega?
No,
no,
but Nintendo
it's
64
Columns,
does have
why.
Pokemon that's Puzzle cool. League. Columns is different, too.
No, it's the same.
No, it's not.
You're moving gems to match gems.
I know you're just
gems.
Doing it to annoy me, but it's still annoying. It's still annoying.
All right, I'll let it go. I'm sorry. But no, I'll put some playing time in. Serious playing time.
You don't have to do it just for me. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, what else am I going
to
do?
We could bring it to the booth, and like, if anyone can beat me at the convention, I will like give them my Super Nintendo, like something like that. That might be fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No?
No, I would just give them your 1954 Detroit Yellow Pages.
Music break!
No, we're not doing a music break. We got to do the... question first. Listener email discussion
what?
Question.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I forgot.
Where wow. are you today?
What have you been drinking?
No, no.
Did I really
no, listen.
Rattle you with the Tetris
no,
attacks?
No,
well,
no,
there's no question this
I normally,
week, man.
No, I normally go by time. Like, when we spend about a half hour. And it's 8 o'clock right now.
Yeah, we ran
yeah,
to
we screwed around.
Forever.
We started a little late, and we talked about phone books a lot. So that's, that's where
okay.
I'm at right now.
Incredible. Level complete. Goodbye.
But no, we do. You are absolutely correct. We thank you for reminding. We do have a listener email discussion question that we can spend another 20 minutes on.
Right. It
goes like this. Hello, everyone. Were video game consoles actually a bad thing? The games themselves were brilliant, obviously, but compared to early computers, the systems seem incredibly simplistic. After all, not only did computers allow you to code your own games directly on your device, but they allowed you to tinker around with other multimedia activities such as music and later video production. So then, did video game consoles turn us all into techno-illiterate babies? Or should we credit them with allowing gaming to expand in popularity beyond your beardy Dungeons & Dragons playing type of fellow? Keep up the good work, Nick, a.k.a. Mecha Fat Nick. What do you guys think? Video game consoles made us technically illiterate? Made us dumber? What do you think?
I'm gonna say they were good only because back in the day when you had to code things in manually, I think they're a little too complex for the average user. Mm-hmm. It's not like now you plug it in, bam, operating system goes on. Then you had to do everything line by line, and for the average parents buying their kid a console for Christmas or the birthday or whatever, they would have no idea what to do with the computer. As opposed to a console where you plug it in, put the cartridge in, you're good to go.
I agree. Like, I think it's... Gotcha. I don't think that consoles made us technologically illiterate. I think we already were.
Ooh.
As a society.
Yeah, like, there wasn't technology to be illiterate.
Right. Like, I don't know how many times I had to fix the blinking 12 on my parents' VCR. Yeah. I mean, they just...
They didn't get
it. You know, it's a lot easier to sit down, like you were saying, Jason, to sit down, plug it in,
yeah,
plug the card in, and hit the power button, rather than, okay, C-DOS, run, DOS, run. So...
That's an actual command line code. How'd you know? Good stuff.
I'm a programmer. QBasic, baby.
Yeah.
QBasic.
Oh, we should have a QBasic game jam, like the three of us. We should actually write QBasic games.
I don't even know QBasic.
What?
It's super easy,
it's
dude.
It's so easy. It's Jason.
All right. I will teach myself QBasic before I come down.
Like, I mean, there's like fancy games with like graphics and stuff. I'm just going to...
Oh, God. You really just do print Hello World and it prints it?
Yeah.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
okay.
All by line numbers. Like, it's line 10, 20, 30, 40. You can be like, input.
Sweet, I'm in.
What's your favorite color? Then you can be like, if yellow, go to 60.
We'll make some nice MS-DOS homebrew.
Oh, man. I'm really excited.
I'm down
this
for
idea.
That.
And we could have, man, like, we could have a retro showdown poll as to which of us made the best games we actually made.
Oh.
We could, like, release it.
I'm going to make Purple Turtles, too.
I still can't believe I couldn't find an online QBasic editor that works. I can't find one.
I think it's just so archaic. Like, the structure of the language is so weird. It'd be difficult to do it any other way, you know? Does that make any sense, Jason, what I'm saying right now?
Yeah.
It'd be like making an editor for assembly.
No, you
so
could
maybe,
do it.
So maybe we need
it could
to
be done, I guess,
find
right.
a QBasic-esque emulator or... programming language that's the same but can run on modern systems.
Well, QBasic can. You just gotta use a thingy.
Gotta DOS box it.
Yeah. Start with that.
Oh,
that's harder than actually programming for QBasic is to get DOS box to
work. That's true. That is true. I have two thoughts on this question. Thought number one, how do I say this?
With your mouth.
You know, were video game consoles a bad thing? No.
Right.
So that's okay, but my second thought would be, in the whole debate on do video games make people dumber or do they make people more intelligent, I think that's a very black and white kind of thing in terms of like techno-illiteracy. There's different kinds of intelligence, and it's been proven through studies that playing video games does enhance certain parts of your mental capacity while diminishing others, like empathy and compassion. So to really focus on making you technologically illiterate, I think is kind of an unfair way to frame the argument. But I would still agree with you two that back in, like, let's say the early 90s, if you're playing a video game, you're actually doing something that's more technologically advanced than most people were doing. Most people aren't programmers doing something more complex.
Right.
There weren't like cell phones back then, you know? Also, this is actually what I really wanted to say. the whole part where he says, I'm going to read it word for word. Compared to early computers, the systems seem incredibly simplistic after all. Not only did computers allow you to that's hokum.
Like John Hokum?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe now computers are the premier gaming rigs, but back in like the 80s and 90s, a gaming machine really was more advanced than you could get your computer to do.
Right. So well, that's the arcade argument, too.
Yeah.
It's the reason why arcades were able to stick around with home consoles, because the hardware was better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. You could not, I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, play an arcade game, go home, try and do that on your PC, on your 386 machine. Try it. It's not going to happen. Please, PC Master.
You have to go a bit further back than the 386.
The 286?
Further back. You could play. Yeah, the two. I don't know, maybe. I could play Doom on a 386.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But could you play Double Dragon 2?
I don't think they had it.
See?
No, that's a good point. I mean, yeah. Doom was a huge.
That's fine.
In terms of technology, I mean, that fueled the whole graphics sphere was Doom. You know,
valid point, Tiny Thumbs.
Super tiny.
That's why I don't play consoles.
So tiny.
Can't reach the buttons.
Just like the dog in the corner.
Have you ever seen him thumb through a Yellow Pages book before? It's quick.
Yeah.
It's very quick.
Oh, gosh. This is not going away anytime soon.
No.
I love it. Old Tuffles.
Yeah, man. Yellow Pages.
So, thanks for writing that question in, Mechafatnik, but I think now it's time for a music break.
There you go.
Music break.
Back. That was Helicopter Ride 16-bit version by Mechafatnik, a fun little chiptune track off his Attack of the Terrible Lizard Kitty album. And one of the few fun times we get to have the interlude artist be the same person who sent in the listener email discussion questions. So, good work, Nick. Speaking of good work, it's time for the best work of all. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has chosen a secret retro game. We'll have 1 minute to reveal it for the first time to each other and to the world. Then we'll spend the rest of the show pretty much arguing about who picked the best game, usually fitting within a theme. But the best part is that you, the listener or watcher, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast episode page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, and most importantly, hopefully we'll entertain you along the way. Two episodes ago, our theme was games on consoles. Very broad theme there. And the winner was Jason with Journey Escape. It hurts me to say it.
Wow.
It beat Deadly Towers and Urban Champion in what may be one of the worst trios of games we've ever featured.
It was pretty bad.
Retro Shock, especially considering how broad the category was. You could have picked any game on any console. But we picked Urban Champion, Deadly Towers, and Journey.
Is that three in a row?
Yeah.
It's two or three.
That's three in a row. Some could say that.
Three in a row, yeah.
I now hold the title of the Juggernaut.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Jason is now the Juggernaut.
He takes the belt. Juggernaut!
Took a year.
Took about a year, yeah. It's all right.
Good job, Jason.
I win it back. I get the rematch coming soon.
All right.
Yeah. Man, Jason, you've been sneaky good these past 3 weeks.
I don't know how.
Through whatever combination.
Has he, though? That's what I'm curious about.
Skill.
Has he really?
I think there's a lot of elements going on in his favor lately. His luck's about to change.
All right. We'll
there's see. No... This is one of those unreproducible experiments.
We'll see. I mean,
there's no way. Yeah.
I'm going to keep it rolling tonight.
We'll see. We'll see. Tonight's theme is game with a desert in it. Jason, did you pick that?
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Yes, he did.
That doesn't bode well. He may have been stacking the chips in his own favor. That's my suspicion I'm going to go ahead and mention right now.
As he drinks his pickle juice.
Mm. Yep, I'm getting myself ready. But traditionally, Jason is the timekeeper for our 1 minute, and I usually go first. So unless we're breaking tradition tonight, which maybe we want to switch it up someday.
Nah.
I don't want to always go first. It's kind of unfair. I don't know. It's going to be weird.
Are you ready?
But I'm ready.
You may begin.
Tonight, I picked the last officially licensed NES-exclusive video game ever released, and the sequel to my favorite game of all time. The beautiful top-down adventure game with a great soundtrack and a good sense of humor as well. It is Star Tropics 2, Zoda's Revenge. I honestly think the only significant, noteworthy flaw is that it's a bit too easy. Otherwise, it's just a gorgeous, engrossing quest across time, as our hero Mike travels to various locations that include visiting Leonardo da Vinci, Sherlock Holmes, which is a fictional character, and Egypt in the time of Cleopatra, including, yes, a long trek across a sandy desert. Whether it's for the graphics, the music, the gameplay, or the rich characterization, it's kind of like Earthbound, really. Star Tropics 2 Zora's Revenge on NES.
All right.
It's kind of like Earthbound?
In terms of how rich of an experience it is, how it's story-driven. Now, it's not the best game of its genre, but it compels you to move forward through its evocative.
It just sounds like you were name-dropping there, that's all.
Yeah, it did as well. So, but whatever.
Fine, I'm telling you I didn't say it. Everything else I said still stands.
Are you ready, Hunter?
I am ready.
You may begin.
Oh, desert. Nobody likes the desert. Deserts are filled with sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, God. And it gets everywhere. Who would like living in a desert, I ask you? Even desert levels and video games are boring. There's nothing to see. It's just flat, brown, it's hot. The wind will be whipping around because there's nothing to stop. It's just awful, awful stuff. I feel bad for people who have to live in such areas. You'd think they'd move. I mean, unless if you're producing the world's largest glass factory, what does the sand have to offer? Nothing, I tell you. Absolutely nothing. And did you know that the desert takes up 33% of the land on Earth? 33%. Something so awful takes up to one-third of the land on Earth. It's crazy. Stupid, stupid sand. I picked Aladdin for the Sega Genesis. So, stupid sand. I don't like sand. I don't like it.
I like that a lot.
All right, I guess let's start.
Oh, my gosh.
Released in 1983 on the console that brought you such classics such as Purple Turtles. This game features you hunting down dangerous animals in your prized jet fighter. That's right, it's Attack of the Mutant Camels.
What?
It's part of a military task force. You must destroy the mutant camels as they assault your base. Only when you destroy them can you go through hyperspace, dodge missiles, and then, guess what, fight even more camels in the battles of the desert. That's Attack of the Mutant Camels for the Commodore 64.
What?
Okay, the weird thing is, before Jason began, I was going to jokingly say, Jason, you don't stand a chance, because Hunter, Aladdin. But then, what?
Attack of the Mutant Camels.
Hunter, you start us off.
Just trying to figure out what this is.
It's gold. In the words of Seinfeld, it's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Not to be confused with an entirely different game in Mentor's Grid Runner series.
What?
So the player controls a small jet plane and has the task of killing giant yellow camels before they reach the home base. Doing so requires several shots. The camels retaliate by shooting fireballs out of their mouth.
So I don't have to do anything. Hunter does the arguing for me.
Oh, okay. It's a clone, so it's a mod.
No, it's not
the
a
Empire
mod.
Strikes Back.
No.
The AT-AT walkers were replaced by giant camels. I thought it looked familiar.
Hold on. One, it says verbatim, it's thought to be a clone.
No, it is.
And two, that's not that's not cited in Wikipedia. And three, sure. Even if it was,
what?
That just makes it better because Star Wars is awesome.
It was created by LlamaSoft.
Yeah, LlamaSoft.
LlamaSoft. And there was a sequel named Revenge of the Mutant Camels.
You know what? It's Bejeweled. It's Bejeweled.
It is.
Attack of the Mutant Camels is Bejeweled.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
There is.
Attack of the Mutant Camels.
Oh man, you should have brought Revenge of the Mutant Camels.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking that for down the road.
This one you play as a camel.
Yeah.
That is armed by default with small blue shots that can be attained other weapons and weapon upgrades by collecting power ups during the game.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that one, but I played both, and Attack was the superior game.
Because it's Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Here's my question. I have a question about this.
Sure.
Hunter, back me up here, please. If it's a clone of Empire Strikes Back, which it is.
Yeah.
Right.
And they just replaced the AT-ATs, the Imperial Walkers. They just gave them like a face and a tail to make them look like camels.
Correct.
Considering that the AT-AT attack took place on Hoth, which is an ice planet.
They also added pyramids.
They did.
It is the desert.
But they're ice pyramids.
Ice pyramids?
Ice pyramids.
Where's you just see an ice pyramids everywhere?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's room for an argument here that you can be disqualified this week because there's not a desert. It's on Hoth.
Just embrace my power. Don't fear it.
Come to the dark side.
Jeez.
Yeah,
because
it's
impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Oh, you want this?
Here, on the back of the
your faith in your friends is yours.
Strike me down.
Yes, give in to your anger.
I fucking love Empire Strikes Back. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. Oh, there's so many great. Oh, such a great movie. This makes me happy thinking about it.
Disturbing.
Even though we were doing lines from Returns.
Houdini!
Anyway.
Yeah. Attack Me Camels. Okay, so Zoda's Revenge.
Look. We don't need to bring up my game because we all know Hunter's going to win.
All right, so let's just
Bring up your game.
No, we don't have to. Let's just take apart Aladdin.
All right. Good luck. One of the highest grossing Disney movies of all time. Capcom owned the...
It's not Retro Movie Showdown.
Yeah, no, it's not Retro Movie Showdown. We can do it some other time.
Mentioning it. So. Capcom had a agreement with Disney to produce Disney games.
See, I have my main issue with arguing against Aladdin is it's one of those games that's considered a classic.
Everybody loves it.
Everyone loves it.
Has so some like of the best music in a movie, hands down.
In a movie, it's not in the game, is it?
Well, you're the music's movie in the game.
Fixated tonight. Yeah. Hunter.
It's a good movie. I like the movie.
Are you thinking of your other podcasts where you're talking about movies?
No, I'm not.
I think he is. I think Hunter is cheating on us.
The music that is in the movie is recreated in the game, which makes it great music.
I can't believe I wasted a sentimental choice.
Yeah, I can't believe I wasted Star Trek 2.
Only for Hunter.
Yes, yes, Jason, you have wasted Attack of the Mutant Camels.
I hear you, Jason.
Honest to God, I've been sitting on this thing for 3 weeks.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Distinctive, a very. I'm with Jason. Like, that's a really cool pick. Like, that's a real ace in the hole kind of crazy eight wild card.
What?
Other deck of cards metaphor here. I think it's a really cool choice, Attack of the Mutant Camels. Listen to the title. There's mutant camels in the title.
It's like a great 1950s B movie.
I just wonder if Jason realizes that he's mentioned purple turtles twice in this episode.
Yeah,
it's true.
I mean, we're really good at
purple turtles on the brain.
Yeah, if you don't know about purple turtles, I mentioned that in probably episode 23.
Oh, it's not that old.
What do you mean you mentioned it? I'm the one who brought it to a showdown. Thank you very much.
You couldn't even introduce it. It was so funny.
Did you bring it?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Are you an alternate dimension?
Because that really seems like a pick I would bring.
Which says so much about Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Purple Turtle. Oh, I brought Blue Thunder for the Action Max.
So. Right, which also seems like a game.
Never mind.
Oh, geez, the Action Max. Good time. So let's talk about Zoda's Revenge.
Okay, let's go ahead. Yeah. I enjoyed talking about it, so we can at least talk about it. But I concede.
Oh, yeah, I want him.
I concede the showdown to you, Hunter. So let's just for fun celebrate Zoda's Revenge, please.
Well, I'm not going to celebrate it.
Why not? It's a great game.
I mean, it's an okay game.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty poor successor to Star Tropics.
Are you saying the original is like a lot better? I think it's somewhat better. I don't know about
quite a bit
better.
Quite a bit better.
Quite a bit. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I do prefer the original. So that's okay.
More of a consistent story.
True.
Star Tropics is one of those games that I feel didn't need a sequel. Like, I think the first one was good enough.
Yeah.
You know, why?
Yeah.
It's like Beetlejuice 2 in the Bahamas. Do we really need to go tropical? I don't think so. I think we're good with what we have. They really screwed with the controls in the second one. Like,
they
his jump's not this.
He can jump in any direction now and change direction in midair. It's a much easier game.
It is much easier.
How you can move in the first one.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what made it unique.
True.
Was because it keeps you in the constraints of a top-down platforming game.
I actually totally agree with you so far, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why was it released so late? Like, it's an original NES.
Right.
But
it was released in 94, and the Super Nintendo came out in 91?
Yeah, because there was still enough of a market, and there eventually had to be a last game, so if it wasn't this game, it would have just been something else.
See, I didn't think it was the last game. I thought Wario Woods was the last game.
It was. Star Wars 2 Zoda's Revenge was the last NES exclusive. Because Wario's Woods came out for Super Nintendo also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you're right.
It was the last licensed game release. You are right about Wario's Woods on that. And Jason, are you implying that once a new console comes out, the company should just stop altogether all production of all existing games on the prior console?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just it's a bizarre move to be making games for a console 3 years after it's been, you know, kind of shut down.
I think it's pretty comparable. If you look at the last Super Nintendo game after Nintendo 64 was released, the last 64 after GameCube was released, it's usually 2, 3, 4 years. The last PS1 game to be released after the PS2 came out and the last PS2 game, those are insane. I mean, right. PS2 was making new games like 5 or 6 years into the PS3's lifetime. I'm not joking.
It takes longer.
Like a couple games a year, but yeah.
Yeah, it takes longer. I mean, just in terms of just development on a console in general, I mean, if you look at, I mean, it's a perfect example. Look at a first run, first party game, Super Mario Brothers. Amazing game, right?
Yep.
I love playing it. And then play a game like Kirby's Dream Land. Like, it's such a radically different, more advanced game because they finally realized what the hardware could do. You know?
Yeah. And that's actually why a lot of the late NES releases are so good. When you talk about Kirby's Adventure, Little Samson. I mean...
Oh, yeah, Kirby's Adventure. Kirby's Dream Land was for Game Boy. Sorry.
No, but I mean, your point was still valid, though, because even Kirby's Dream Land was released years and years after the Game Boy was ever out.
True. That's the one I got. Okay. I don't have Kirby's Adventure. I'm not cool enough.
I'm actually working on a feature all about Kirby's Adventure. And how
yeah, I would love to read it.
It's hopefully this weekend.
Fantastic. I cannot wait.
Tons of animated...
GIFs?
GIFs everywhere. See how I chickened out of that discussion?
You did. Yes, you did.
You know what? Here.
It's
here.
GIF or GIF. Is it GIF?
I'm going to do it.
GIF?
Aladdin sucks.
No, it doesn't. I think I would like Zoda's Revenge better if it wasn't a Star Tropics game. I think that's what holds me back.
Ooh, that's interesting.
But okay, Jason, yeah. Why does Aladdin suck?
Aladdin is this. I'm really stretching here.
I look forward to this.
I'll play into it.
Aladdin is the definition of movies where, or games where they didn't need to be made from a property that in no way should lend itself to an action game.
I'm going to be really honest. I have no idea what you just meant there. No idea.
Yeah, I don't either. All right. I'm struggling.
Disney's Aladdin.
Okay.
Is this tale of rags to riches?
Sort of.
Kind of.
It's a morality tale at the same time.
Correct.
Right. And also happens to be a musical.
Except for in this game, you get a giant sword.
That's the thing. It's nowhere in Aladdin is he this action hero. Not by choice.
Ooh, okay.
He is forced into these situations.
Right.
By powers out of his control.
Right.
In this one, you're making the choices to attack these people, which undermines Aladdin as a character.
Okay, I'm going to go on a stretch and say you could say that about any game based on a property. Have you played The Little Mermaid on NES? You're killing every bit of wildlife in the sea.
I'd claim that as a bad adaptation of a property.
Murdering them.
See, I don't think it's a bad adaptation. Okay, so...
It's an unfaithful adaptation.
Who cares?
So he's got to keep... One jump ahead of the bread line.
One
swing
ahead of the bread line.
Ahead of the sword. Now he steals only what he can't afford, which is everything.
He's keeping one jump ahead of the sword. He's not swinging the sword.
Correct. So in this game, he's decided to take the sword and taking whatever he wants into his own hands because now he can defend himself.
So Aladdin snapped and become some type of murderer.
From Aladdin to Abaddon.
Oh,
no,
so
that
sorry.
Was bad.
I'm
that
so
was
sorry.
Really bad. That was. I mean, usually I'll give you softballs, man, but I can't give you
that.
No,
that was.
That's
I, yeah.
So, and I kind of need those softballs back. I got practice tomorrow.
Okay, fair. So. I mean, you too in your softball games.
Hey, man.
I used to play.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, it is. That's true. I played.
I have ran into people who don't like Aladdin for the Genesis.
All two of them.
They actually prefer Aladdin for the Super NES, which I thought was interesting. And their argument was the Aladdin for the Genesis was too difficult. It's too hard. Ah.
Wow.
It's the platforming. It's just like, ugh. Ooh. Which is an entire subgenre that people run after now are difficult platformers.
Yeah, right.
So
they support the indie industry.
If anything, it was ahead of its time. So, but speaking of indie games, I would love to play a new iteration of a Star Tropics game. Because I like the overworld exploration with the the dungeon crawling.
If they released a Star Tropics game on Wii U, I would go out and buy it and the Wii U. No questions asked.
What if it was like on a PlayStation 4?
Okay.
What if it was called... All right, hear me out. What if it was called Moon Jungle? Okay. Instead of Star Tropics.
I see where we're going.
It's called Moon Jungle. Okay. And it's made by a very small team. Let's say it's no more than 10 or 15 people. And their number one only influence to create Moon Jungle is Star Tropics. The original Star Tropics. Not Zoda's Revenge because it's a piece of crap. So they developed this game. And it's in the style of... it's still top down, but it's 3D images. It's in the style of... Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds. Sure. But it feels like Star Tropics.
Okay.
And it is exclusive from here until the end of time on the PlayStation 4.
Wow.
Would you buy a PlayStation 4 for a $10 game that's going to be on the PlayStation Network?
Wow. If there was a good deal on one, yes.
There's not. Wow.
Then no. Well... Is it getting good reviews?
It's getting amazing reviews. Amazing. They're saying that it's the next, it is the iteration of Star Tropics from its core on out. It's better than Star Tropics.
Wow.
And it's called Moon Jungle.
I love the name. If you were Star Tropics, you'd be Moon Jungle. Maybe.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe. I have to think about it.
Really?
Yeah,
I'll say this. Here's my response to my own question, because I talked to myself quite a bit.
Yes, your answer is yes.
I would try... Well, it's not yes, because I really don't want a PlayStation 4.
Right, that's where I'm at. Like, yeah.
That's where I'm struggling, you know? I really don't want a PlayStation 4, but I would consider damn hard not to buy one. Just for that game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, the only reason that I bought a 3DS was to play A Link Between Worlds. The only reason I bought a Wii U is so I could get Wind Waker HD. I mean, do I have other games for those consoles and that handheld? Absolutely.
Sure.
But that is nowhere near the reason that I bought the console. It was because I need this game, you know?
Yep.
I don't buy consoles because they're new and flashy. I buy consoles because I play games. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't own... My oldest console right now is a Nintendo GameCube, other than the Wii U. You know? I don't own a 360. I don't own a PlayStation 3.
Really?
Yeah. And I probably will never own a 360 or PlayStation 3 because there is nothing on those consoles that I want to play.
Did you just say the GameCube is the oldest console you own?
Yeah, you did. He meant newest.
Other than the Wii 2. Yeah, the newest.
Oh!
Other than the Wii U, it's the newest console.
I should have understood what you meant. That's on me.
I was talking really fast.
Did you know that many people prefer the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin to the Sega Genesis version?
They do.
No, they don't. Nobody does. That's crazy.
It's an actual, like, debate. It's a thing. Like, it's a...
There's no debate. The Genesis wins every time.
I...
And here's why. You know what Aladdin does in the Super NES version? He jumps on things.
Right.
Because we've never seen that before.
In a Nintendo game, the protagonist jumping on enemies?
It's ridiculous. And think of this. Think of this, okay? So you're playing the Aladdin version, Super NES. You can collect apples and gems, right?
Lots of apples. You can hold so many apples in that game.
99 apples is where it caps at.
99 apples tucked under my shirt. 99 apples to throw. Take one out. Kill you now. 98 apples tucked under my shirt. 98 apples tucked under my shirt. 98 apples to throw.
And you can also collect 99 gems, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So you're telling me that if you collect 99 apples and 99 gems...
99 apples tucked... Under.
You're still a street rat? You're still a beggar? Come on.
Oh, yeah, but in the Sega version, you have a sword. You could say the same exact thing.
Yeah. You're telling me you can't steal a sword from a guard?
Go,
tree.
Jason!
So the Sega version you have a sword, and the Nintendo version you don't.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yes.
I would say, based on the points I brought up on Aladdin, that the Nintendo version is a more faithful adaptation, thus making your Sega Genesis version a piece of crap.
Ayo!
Is that how that works?
Glad I put that door open.
That's how I'm doing it.
Well. That's the key to our victory this week, Jason. That argument right there. That's the only chance we have.
Good luck on a shitty sequel that should have never been made and a ROM hack of a very, very, very popular game for the Atari 2600.
Really, Hunter? Really?
Should have never been made, man. Should have never been made.
Well, sorry. Final arguments, now that we're well on our way to possibly making this the longest episode of all time anyway. Hunter, why should anyone vote for a Disney game?
Because that Disney game is, in fact, Aladdin on the Sega Genesis.
I actually, if you win this week, I won't be bitter one bit, just because your intro was amazing. You didn't mention the title of the game until the last 5 seconds.
I did at the end.
You didn't say anything about the game. You just ranted about deserts, and it was amazing. I just want to point that out. I hope you get lots of credit for that. That was...
I probably won't. Jason's going to win again.
I think Hunter, between that and the poem you wrote for that one game, I think Hunter has the best intro to the Retro Showdown. He's really bringing it.
Oh, yeah, the poem.
He does plan them all.
As he should. Well, yeah. As he should.
Trust me, man. I never did well in improv.
Working, man.
So
kind of forgot about the poem. That was pretty funny.
So, Jason.
What game was that?
I don't even remember. That's the problem. So, Jason, why should anyone vote for Empire Strikes Back on Commodore 64?
you should vote for Attack of the Mutant Camels.
Yes, they are camels.
I almost said Campbells or Campbells. Attack of the Mutant Soup. You should attack the Mutant Camels because it is a great, nay, legendary desert-themed game. And it is, I guarantee you, the only game where you can fight giant mutant camels.
It's true.
That may not be true.
Because nobody else would want to do that.
I
wouldn't.
Camels. You should vote for Star Tropics 2 Zoda's Revenge. Because I'm actually kind of filled with regret right now. I think I gave up too quickly to Hunter in seeding this round. Because I really didn't talk about my own game that much. I really should have mentioned how good the game looks for an 8-bit game. How great and memorable the soundtrack is. And how funny it is. Like, even though it's silly, like, you travel through time to visit different chapters of gameplay. Very generic plot, but you do see the return of the villain you thought died in the first game. He's a shadowy, like, you don't know. He reveals his true form. It does follow, like, the aliens from the first game. I mean, there's some cool callbacks. I'm just going to mention one part of the game. Just one part. There's a part of the game where you visit, finally, one of the original locations from the first game, but it's like darker and eerie. And you travel through the same cave, and you come to the first boss you beat in the original Star Tropics. And there's his skeleton, his giant skeleton laying there. So for a Star Tropics fan to come all the way across the story arc to that moment is so cool. It represents the immersive, fun experience and the magic of escapism that video games are all about. That's why you should vote for Star Tropics 2.
Zoda's Revenge. Mega Manned it?
They
come on, man.
Mega Man.
Let's make the game longer. Let's put a boss from the first one.
No, but
in.
You don't fight him. He's already. You're not getting my point at all, Hunter.
No, I beat Star Tropics too.
Tisk.
It was kind of interesting.
So, that's our showdown. Have fun voting for one of those three games. That's a tough lineup this week. Personally, I think Jason's chances of going 4-0 are screwed, even with his awesome choice of Empire Strikes Back. So remember, live stream airs 7:30 p.m. Thursday evenings Central Time. And I just want to remind everyone, you can send us listener email discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. I would also remind you, please check out the featured artist. We love hosting a free music track every week that you can download on the website. Leave comments on the webpage. And quickly, I just want to shout out some of our live stream commenters. Thank you so much for watching and for commenting. Captain Knucklehead, Rizard Core, Smannaberg, Brent Jureski. I really hope I didn't just butcher your name. Yoshi Knuckles, Dustin Faber, Paul Sharp, Jason Lamb. What are you doing there?
Whoa.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter if you want at Nintendo_legend. Please follow One More Castle at One More Castle. That's number one More Castle. Also on Facebook.com/One More Castle for exclusive content as well. Hunter, any shoutouts, promos, reminders, or sock recommendations?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericm.com. And I would like to shout out to the Indie Popcom. You guys need to go on there and vote for my workshop. I'm trying to put a workshop on, so I need your votes. Also in the showdown, Paul, I need your votes there too. But I need your votes to put on the workshop. If you click on schedules, go to indiepopcom.com, click on schedules, and then click on vote submissions. On the second one down, my workshop is called I Want to Play Your Indie Game. And I found the poem. It was from Ren and Stimpy, Space Cadet Adventures. Yes.
Jason!
That was a fun one.
It was.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I will give a shout-out to LlamaSoft, developer of such classics as Space Giraffe and Attack of the Unit Camels.
Yeah. Just a reminder to everyone, all three of us are going to be at Indie PopCon. It is a geek-friendly pop culture convention held in Indianapolis, Indiana, May 30th through June 1st. We are literally, all three of us, actually going to be there in the flesh. So please plan on coming. Mark your calendars. It's less than 2 months away, guys. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm getting... Wow, that's actually, like, scary close. We need to do a couple things.
Yeah, we do.
But yeah, come and visit us and hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. But listeners, remember, most importantly, you are a bad enough dude to rescue your friends. See you next week.